8 to 5 on Friday, April 29th. Come and see the community banking difference and let us show you why so many people put their trust in the Bank of Broadhead. Strength, stability, service. The Bank of Broadhead, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
The Big FM 93.7, the Big AM 1380, on the drive home with Sly. Joining us now, the Executive Director of Ask Me Council 32, Rick Badger. Rick, good afternoon. Well, let me turn your phone on. There we go. Good afternoon, Rick.
Hey, Sly. Good afternoon.
Tomorrow, we're going to be doing a salute to the workers of Illinois from the Labor Temple in Rockford, so we'll be seeing lots of folks from AFSCME Council 31, who I know you know. So,
yes.
Tomorrow, workers, we salute the workers of Illinois tomorrow. But for today, I want to talk about the piece that ran in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the growing number of people that are just leaving the state workforce. And they're saying it has primarily to do with the economy. Do you concur?
Well, let's be honest here. There's a little bit of it that has to do with the economy, but the vast majority of it has to do with how, you know, employees have been treated the past 5 years.
Oh, did something happen?
No, I heard. A rumor has it that maybe there's been a continual basically attack on employees. So maybe it's just rumor. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Every year there's new stuff out there. So, no, it was interesting to see how the state played that. There's no doubt the economy is better now than it was 5-6 years ago. However, this is not tied to people leaving because of great jobs elsewhere. Leaving because the jobs are not so good where they are, which is a little bit different perspective than what the state is trying to say.
Well, and this problem obviously was greatly exacerbated by the passage of Act 10 and the stripping of people's collective bargaining rights and the general treatment of workers by the Republican machine that runs the state now. But even before Scott Walker took office, I wouldn't call the 2000s a good chunk of them the good old days for state workers. There were furloughs, there were pay freezes. It's been a while, right?
Right. And this is the part where they need to take all the stuff out there and get down to the bottom line. You can attribute some of this to demographics and the baby boomers retiring. You can attribute some of this to the fact that there are in certain areas a slightly better economy. But as you said, if this predates Scott Walker, this goes back into, you know, the previous governor, Governor Doyle, and other folks. No one has totally clean hands on this, where really the state tried to balance the budget on the backs of the workers. It just got to be on steroids by the time we got to 2010, 2011 with Scott Walker. And here's the thing, Sly. It's not just what they did with Act 10. It's the continuing stuff, and you talked about this before, about the issues of changing the civil service procedures in the state of Wisconsin, changing things to make the job less attractive. So it's a continual drumbeat of saying, you're not valued, this is not really important to us, and then to be surprised that there are vacancies and that people don't want to stay in these jobs should not be a surprise.
Rick Badger with us. He is on the Big FM 93.7 of the Big AM 1380. He's the executive director of Ask Me Council 32. And, of course, Ask Me started in Wisconsin, and it started in the middle of the Depression. And that is a pretty remarkable thing, where workers began to stand up for themselves. And I guess a lot of people think that recessions or depressions, it was actually the Depression, is an excuse to mistreat workers. It isn't.
No, it's not.
Okay. So when I read a story like this, I try to think of how the readers of the Journal Sentinel in the Ring of Fire of Ozaukee, Washington, Waukesha County, their reaction when they see a story like this. What do you think it might be, Rick?
Well, you know, that's just probably the market taking care of it. If we treat people poorly enough, people will leave, and at some point, maybe down the road in 10 or 20 years, the state will have to correct it then when there's nobody doing these jobs. I mean, you know, that's the old Adam Smith, and the market will correct itself. It doesn't work that way in the real world. And that's the truth. But, you know, as you talk about the people outside Milwaukee, I'm sure their view is they don't like the jobs and they should leave. Well, it's not that simple if you've got a family to feed. And everyone who's listening to this knows of the world. It's not so simple to say, I want to leave this job. So it means a lot when people are leaving because the jobs are not that great.
Of course, you know, this is a study that's been put out, and they say that, well, this is not an outlier. This is happening all over the country in states like Montana and Georgia. What do you say to that?
Well, but it's not. If you look at the history, and I think when your early point, you said, look, let's look back even before Scott Walker. These are things where in Wisconsin there was a conscientious desire. And this hits both parties. This is not exclusively to Scott Walker and his friends. That basically we need to balance the budget. And again, this is something that all of the members I represent are, guess what? They're taxpayers too. So of course they care about this stuff. But when you look at it and you take out the issues of the demographics and take out the issue of, and it's debatable about how good the economy really is. And we could have a whole other discussion on that one sometimes, Sly. But the stuff on this is, it's not working, and people are not staying in these jobs when you correct for that. And I thought that Jason Stein and crew were a little bit too kind in their assessment of what the facts were.
Well, I was actually stunned. You know, the first headline that I saw, when I still get the paper delivered, I kind of rolled old school. I thought, okay, they're going to immediately jump into this is Act 10. And they danced around it, and they had some woman on from some organization that, you know, that hires, what is it? Leslie Scott, executive director of the National Association of State Personnel Executives. I bet that is not a pro-labor organization. Something just tells me that. We're seeing a definite trend. It's difficult to recruit and retrain state workers nationally. It's due to a significant part to compensation. It doesn't take a master's degree to figure that one out.
Yeah, or a PhD, wherever else she has. But no, but here's the thing. You know this. Yes, the compensation is critical, and that should be like, you know, lights flashing right there. But it's beyond that. You've sent the message, at least for Wisconsin, that you're not valued. We don't want to talk. We don't want to listen to you. You should not feel safe talking about problems at work. And that sends a real message. And if people are thinking about making a career in the civil service, there's certainly a lot of signs out there to say, hey, you know, you're not really valued. And so it's all of these things.
I don't know if I've ever played this for you, but when Scott Fitzgerald came out with the notion of right to work back in the end of 2014 or whenever it was, they were talking at first of having certain types of places right to work, others not. Here's a caller to Charlie Sykes' show, but listen to what Charlie Sykes says at the end of this conversation.
Yes, I do, Charlie. Yeah. I also would be a little bit nervous on the carve out that the senator was talking about earlier this morning, because we just had a carve out when it came to Act 10 because of fire and police, and what it's created is basically two classes of public employees: the haves and the have-nots. And while I certainly respect the work that
you have, the haves and the have-mores.
Well, that's, yeah,
there are no have-nots on the public payroll. Trust me.
Isn't that remarkable?
It is amazing.
I mean, wow. Does he know that there are state employees that are living below the poverty line?
Yeah. This is amazing, and yet it keeps continuing.
Do you think that there's a false perception among a lot of people that they think all state workers make $70,000 and up?
Yeah, this is the part that is No one goes into state service to make a lot of money. However, what we see are the folks like, you know, former Secretary Ed Wall. We see the top salaries for top state employees. Most of the members I represent, most of them make under $40,000, and many of them make appreciably less. And when they're working in CNAs, working in places, doing the work that has to be done, taking care of folks like our veterans, you know, it makes you more than a little bit angry when people start saying, hey, people are living a high on the hog, because that's not the case.
And these jobs are an absolute necessity.
Yes, they are.
And to outsource them, you know, Mitch Daniels is always like, well, if I can't find it in the phone book, then we'll privatize it, which is an absurd, ridiculous comment. But do they not understand when workers don't have stable lives and they're not able to take care of things, they do slipshod work and they don't last very long, and therefore the care goes down or the service goes down?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the part where it gets very frustrating when you, and you've seen the same stuff I've seen, with the vacancy rates growing, and this is across the state. This is not just one certain area. Again, this is a problem. It creates a real issue when, whether people have concerns about getting things they need from the state, whether it needs needing the care they need from the state, or just having the issues that, you know, that basically government provides for us, and making sure that we live in a community and live in a state that has services that we care about. Things that make people want to put up with winters in Wisconsin and the hot summers in Wisconsin and not live in Hawaii. So, I mean, these are things that all tie together, and this is a quality of life issue that should concern everybody.
We used to kind of be a can-do state. We can do infrastructure. We'll do the gas indexing. We can have good public service because workers have a seat at the table. We used to have everybody at the table, whether they were Republican or Democrat, whether they were in big business, small business, or labor. And there's a very different attitude in this state now. And the result is, the bottom line is, things aren't getting done. And services are slipping. It just doesn't seem like a very smart way to run a state.
Not for anything that wants to have something that would be long-term. And like I said, you're that voice of reason out there, Sly, but that's something that...
Well, sometimes I'm a voice of reason.
All right, we'll give you a fair. But when you're not, usually it's because... So you're the clarion call when we need it, too. So,
okay. Yeah. Stand by. We'll talk more with Rick Basher. Paul from AMS with us on the Big FM 93.7.
We are having an inventory clearance sale. And we've had some people come in and take excellent advantage of that. And we've got lots and lots of really good equipment left, too.
So your location?
Right near the corner of PD and Verona Road on the southwest side of Madison. You can call us at 608-274-7400, amsmadison.com, or you can even like us on Facebook.
Sounds great. Paul from AMS. Brother Rick Badger is on the live line with us from Ask Me Council 32. Rick, can you give us a little sense of a lot of people that are leaving state, county, and in some cases municipal governments right now, not only because of the money, but because of the way they're treated? You know, now Congressman Glenn Grothman, when he was a state senator, said, he'd always go, "Now, Sly, I don't buy that any of this has to do about anything to do with workers' rights and working conditions. These people are just greedy." I think that was right after he said that Kwanzaa was a disgraceful holiday, but that aside.
Well, bless Glenn Grothman. The man has been consistent for the last 6 years. But, you know, I have a broken clock, too, that kind of stays on the same time. And that the man's consistent. But here's the thing. It is, as we said before, when you tell people that they're not valued, when you say that this is not worth, you know, talking about, when you make it so employees can't talk about safety issues, which is what's going on in corrections, when you can't speak about other issues that would actually make things more efficient and make things better for the public, then you really send a message. And so, sure, money is part of it, but I will tell you that all this stuff is bigger than just the money side of it. It's a part of having a voice at work, having a real say, and, as you said before, not being treated like a second or third class citizen, which is what this has done, particularly for the public sector in Wisconsin.
This has empowered some of the supervisors that aren't so hot that are bad, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where there used to be some checks and balances in the system. But I think there are a lot of people that really, truly believe that you and Marty Beal and who was over in Milwaukee?
From back Council in the day, 48. Rich Abelson.
That you literally ran the state. Yeah. You got together that you ran the state. Honestly, that's the impression they leave.
Well, first off, speaking for all three, and particularly the late, great Marty Beal, none of us would even want that if we had that power. But we do want to make sure that the voices of the members that we have the privilege to represent have a voice. And that's what it's about. And I think this needs to go back when you talked about how AFSCME was founded in the Depression. It was founded because state employees were concerned about cronyism and concerned about political patronage. What are we seeing? What are the fears? And it's not just me speaking. It's other people saying the same thing. They're making it so it's much more of a political game. It's who you know, not what you know. And that's not good for Wisconsin. It's not good for any state. And that's the part that gets lost sometimes. This is not about being some little puppet master or doing something. No, it's about making sure that people's voices are heard. And that's what this is about.
I want to ask you something kind of separate from the whole workforce and the state workforce issue. And that is what's going on in Dane County right now with a lot of people talking about primarying Dane County area legislators because they endorsed Hillary Clinton. Are you a little surprised? Indeed, is that helpful?
I don't think it's helpful, but I think that, you know, we've all lived through, you know, look, we live in a world where after watching what's going on with Donald Trump and other people, nothing surprised me. So let's just start putting things in perspective here, okay? There's a level of things that are beyond the pale. And then there are things on here where you kind of go, people feel strongly. We're not on the right track. And no one has the right answer. And this is not about, well, who supported whom or whatever is out there. But it is about, wait a second here, when the dust settles, what's going to serve us best going forward? And I guess my only concern on these discussions, on the side of, and I'm just going to speak for the people that I represent and kind of the community and the state and the country that I hope that we're all part of, is we got to be careful in terms of do we throw out the proverbial baby with the bathwater? Is this something where we're so frustrated by it that we can't come together? And I guess that's the end point. Be angry, be upset, whatever it is you believe. But I guess I'm letting people yell and scream and holler because I think it's legitimate. But let's see where we are in a couple of months.
Yeah,
I don't think that's helpful. Put it that way.
Well, yeah, I just think you have to judge legislators in their totality. And if somebody's with you 99% of the time, but you endorse somebody different in a presidential race, look, I supported Bernie. I know some of the legislators endorsed Hillary Clinton. I'm not sure that's a reason to primary someone. And I just hope people are aware that there's a finite amount of money that's out there. The governor has dried up a lot of resources. Unions have had to fight for their very survival. Members don't have the type of money to contribute anymore. And a bunch of wars in Dane County, I don't think is going to help recruit more candidates in, you know, Marinette or Peshtigo or any other place in the state.
But the other side, because as you get to know me, Sly, there's always the devil's advocate.
Well, that's okay.
You have to have core beliefs. And this is the part where, and I live in a world where the folks I work with have been battered and destroyed. And the old saying, if you don't stand for something, you could fall for anything. There's a certain part. I know where that line is. And I know what you're getting at, Sly.
Right.
But there's a certain part where if you believe in some core values, where is that line? Maybe it isn't who you endorse for president. But maybe there's some stuff on there. There's some good people. And I'll tell you something. The Republicans have gotten pretty good about primarying people out who are moderate, everything else on there. And I'm not suggesting we should do that, and that's not where I don't think you were going with this. But I think there's a certain part where, as a group, we just need to step back and say, is that in our best interest? You know, fight for what we believe in, support the candidates we want, but at the end of the day, what's going to put us in the best position to take the state back? And that, as long as we're asking that question, I don't really care what the answer is, as long as we're asking that question.
Well, I think that is a good question, and you know I have beat up more than one candidate who I like with their voting record, but I want them to be more vocal about workers' rights being an important part of our economy, and not just for public employees, but opposing bad free trade deals and talking about the importance of manufacturing. And I think talking about workers and workers' rights shouldn't be something that they leave out of their out of the campaigns. I think it's an important part of why Wisconsin is struggling. So, you know, I've had more than one person say, Jesus, you're beating up our friends. And it's because I do want them to talk about this stuff.
Right.
Because it's, let's face it, one of the things that really hurt state, county, and municipal workers was that for years, a lot of people, Jim Doyle, I always like to use Jim Doyle as the example, really didn't talk about the value of workers. And I think that if you're gonna be a progressive in Wisconsin, you better value workers.
And that's where I stand on this thing. And hey, Sly, if I've only got a moment or so really to talk, there's one issue I really hope your listeners think about. This Thursday, the 28th, is Workers' Memorial Day. And that's something that's kind of near and dear to my heart. I know it's near and dear to Marty's heart and for folks all around the country. People should have a safe job where they don't have to worry about going to work, not knowing if they're going to get home at night. And too many members I've represented have died on the job. You know, primarily street and highway workers, you know what the deal, in construction zones. But this is true for people, whether you're an electrician, work in a factory, what have you, and non-union just as much as union. We should be worried about safe jobs. And I hope people take a moment to think about that on Thursday as well.
Absolutely, and we will be focusing on that on Thursday. Rick, thanks for coming on the show. We always appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot, Sly.
All right, have a great one.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.